Therapy Notes is the highest rated EHR, practice management, and billing software for mental health professionals. Its all-in-one platform is designed to streamline all aspects of your practice, from connecting with clients via secure messages to scheduling, notes, billing, and more. You can trust Therapy Notes has you covered. And one of the best parts? 24/7 customer service with a live person. It's beyond easy to get help over the phone or by email at any time of day from their knowledgeable and friendly representatives. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial, and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today.
Therapists, ready to stop just listening and start doing? I offer several ways to work with me and accelerate your trauma expertise. You can join my Trauma Therapist Network membership community for ongoing support, book a one-on-one clinical consultation with me for personalized guidance, or buy my course for clinicians on supporting survivors of sexual trauma, and check out the retreats coming up in 2026. All that info and more is on the For Therapists page of Trauma Therapist Network, and you can find a link in the show notes. Therapy Chat Podcast, episode 535.
This is the Therapy Chat Podcast with Laura Reagan, LCSWC. The information shared in this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health professional. And now, here's your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC.
Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. This week, we are continuing our conversations about brain spotting, and my guest is Dr. Sheree Lindberg. Sheree Lindberg is the author of Sacred Healing, a former psychotherapist of 25 years, a speaker, a brain spotting consultant and trainer, and a coach working with high-performing individuals and the practitioners who serve them. In our conversation, Sheree shares that despite being abused as a child, she didn't recognize until she was in grad school that she had symptoms of complex PTSD. Very common experience for so many people to be going along, doing well, maybe achieving a lot, and unaware that we're kind of trying not to think about some things that are still coming back over and over. So Sheree talked about how she found healing from her trauma adaptation, the strategy of fawn, through brain spotting, and how she uses it now with her clients. And I thought this was a really interesting conversation, and I hope you will enjoy it too. Just want to remind you one more time that in August, we are celebrating Trauma Therapist Network's 5th birthday, and I will be announcing some very exciting discounts and offers. So be sure to sign up for my email list at the link in the show notes for this episode if you're not already on it. And that's how I'll be announcing all this exciting stuff in August. I can't wait to celebrate. So now let's dive into my conversation with Dr. Sheree Lindberg. Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and today I'm so pleased to be here with Sheree Lindberg, Dr. Sheree Lindberg. Sheree, thank you so much for being my guest on Therapy Chat today.
Well, thank you, Laura, for this opportunity to come and for us to connect again. It's been a little while, as we talked earlier.
Yeah, it has. So our listeners don't know this, but you were my brain spotting consultant. And although I never followed through with the certification stuff, I still benefited deeply from the work that we did together. And one of the things I loved about having you as my consultant was that you understood complex PTSD, which is, you know, that's my specialty in my work. But when we first met, you were in your process of getting your PhD, and some of the things that you write about in your book that we're going to talk about, Sacred Knowing, were happening at that time. So,
you know, you were sort of in that experience and you were kind of going through a transformative time of your own. So I'm really excited to hear about how that was for you and where you've come to at this point. But before we get into it, let's just start off by you telling our listeners just a little bit more about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, well, thank you again for the opportunity to be here. And I've been in the field of psychotherapy for over 25 years. And about 4 years ago, I shifted to coaching and working with high-performing women in the healing spaces, whether they're coaches or healers, business entrepreneurs. And I absolutely love that. But primarily, my whole career has been about working with trauma, very complex trauma, working with dissociation. And I've created workshops and so forth to help healers understand how to work with folks that have those experiences.
So just as we start and to kind of set the frame, are you still a consultant with Brain Spotting too?
Yes, I'm still a trainer. I'm still a consultant. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you. Okay, so you have a book that mm-hmm. came out, I believe, last year?
Yeah, it came out in November.
Mm-hmm. So how did this book come into being? Tell us a little bit about what this synthesizes for you.
My whole journey has been about wanting folks to know that if you've experienced a lot of trauma as a child, that there's a lot of internal skills and work you can do so you can heal yourself. And that is what that book was about, because so many times people talk about ACEs, right? Which is adverse childhood experiences. And if you have high ACEs, how they talk about that is not good. You're going to have higher risk for disease, higher risk for drug and alcoholism, higher, you know, all these things. And I wanted to bring a voice of hope to that. And so I said, well, all right, I'm going to step in and I'm going to talk about my own healing journey. Because a lot of people say, you know, how did you get to be successful? How did you? And I wanted to share the struggle. I wanted them to know that, hey, I had been abused as a child and it was very hard. And I didn't even know until I got to grad school that I had complex PTSD myself. And so just like we hear about the wounded healer, right? Once I was in grad school and I realized, oh, I have complex PTSD, then I started this journey towards healing. Okay, what can I do to make a difference? And a lot of the talk therapies did not touch anything. It just didn't move anything. And I just felt like I was losing my money. I was going places. Nothing was shifting for me. The first shift that I experienced was with EMDR, and that helped my symptomology get reduced. And so then I got trained in EMDR because it was the first really deep body vehicle or a different vehicle to where it made an impact. And there was some kind of shift pretty rapidly inside. But I often say that brain spotting made my soul come alive, because for me, brain spotting went really deep and helped me connect with all those developmental parts that did not have their needs met. And I was still operating from my adaptive strategies, people pleasing being one of them, you know, fawning, not being authentic because I wanted people to like me, or I wanted to, you know, it was coming down to safety. Like, the only way I can be safe is if people like me. And so that's an adaptive strategy, right? Of fawning. So from there, I just did a lot of deep work in brain spotting, and I found myself less and less fawning, not using as many adaptive strategies. I started being more authentically myself, and I wanted to share that. It was so important to me. I ended up going back to school and getting my doctorate because something was happening and I needed to quantify it. And so what I learned, because I saw this happen in my office over and over again, is that people would come in with either disorganized or insecure attachment. And then I would work with them sometimes for 6 months, sometimes a year, depending upon how complex their system was. and they would get an earned secure attachment. I would watch people grow. I would watch them shift. I would watch them become more adult and not go into their trauma responses when they were setting boundaries, you know? And that was what I was experiencing as well. And so that's what the Book of Sacred Knowing is all about, that journey from trauma to transformation. And I don't see it as ending. I'm still going through life, but that's what a lot of that is about. And then also about discernment, learning how to discern who is safe, who can I trust, because that was a big one for me, and not being taken advantage of, which I think folks that have a trauma history, sometimes it's a little easier to be taken advantage of. And so I talk about finding a mentor in there, how that helped me, giving like different tips, and then helping folks know that the body therapies, the bottom-up therapies, is what's really going to help them heal their central nervous system.
Oh my gosh, this is so wonderful. And I have 1,000 questions from what you just said. So I'll try to bring out the ones that I wanted to highlight the most. One thing is, I mean, so much of what you just shared is exactly like my story too. And that was what, when we were working together, when you were my consultant, we would talk, and I would like realize that you could understand a lot of the things that I was dealing with. And that helped me a lot too, just to know that what I was going through wasn't some flaw of myself, or, you know, wherever I was stuck or whatever I was finding difficult, was you could understand that. And that really was beneficial to me. So I appreciate that. And I think that the fawning strategy, which, you know, some trauma methods call it submit, it, you know, it looks like being pleasant, being easygoing, you know, agreeable. It's very rewarded, especially for those of us socialized as female. And most of us, when we're in that strategy, we don't know that we're doing that. So it's a very successful strategy because it makes it appear as if you're okay. And so it was much after grad school for me before I realized that I also had CPTSD, but I related to that so much. And when people say a high ACE score, so, you know, for those who know about ACEs, and we've talked about it here on the podcast many times, the number just represents how many out of the ACE questionnaire you said yes to. And it doesn't really signify, I mean, you might have two, but those two could be something like your parent died when you were a child and you were physically abused. And those could be things that may have happened to you. I mean, being physically abused could have been happening to you daily. So it's not just
repetitive.
One incident.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And losing if your mother died when you were a child, that's something that every day you didn't have your mother, you know, that's something that impacts you continuously. So, but whether someone's score is 1 or 8, you know, people think that that means, you know, oh, I have an ACE score of 8. So I'm a really traumatized person. And it's not like a weighted thing, you know? But I think people don't understand that. So I wanted
Absolutely.
To name that.
Yeah, they think the higher the number, uh-oh, that's really bad. And so that's why
it can be seen as like a life sentence type thing. So
Absolutely.
I think it's important to name that, yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I wanted to come out and tell people mine's a 9.
Yeah.
Mine's very high. And so
mine's a 9 also.
Yeah. So I wanted folks to know that I'm really happy and I'm doing really well. And yeah. It did take work. It did take going inside internally and reparenting myself and using these bottom-up therapies to remove or discharge some of the nervous system imprints of those traumas.
Absolutely. So like you're a 9, I'm a 9, and we're both doing well in life. We're functioning well in our lives, and we've struggled and experienced a lot of pain, and we've worked hard with that material to heal, and we're still working on it. So the next thing I wanted to say is about what you said about EMDR. You said it reduced my symptomology. And I would love for you to kind of just expound upon that a little bit, like how you noticed things were different just from when you did the EMDR. Because I think people will go through EMDR and be like, it changed my life. My symptoms went away, and not know like the breadth of what could be possible, that they might think that that's the end of what healing looks like. And it might not necessarily be true, I think.
Yeah. So what it did for me is I stopped having nightmares. I stopped having flashbacks. And I didn't even realize what I was experiencing was flashbacks. So I'd be like at school and all of a sudden I picture the nightmare of what I experienced. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, why am I thinking of that? You know, like I'd be mad at myself.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that that was a flashback. So when I took abnormal psych in grad school, then it was like an eye opener, because I was like, oh my gosh, I have PTSD. And then I read all of Bessel's work on what he was trying to do with complex PTSD. And I understood that, oh my gosh, my development, I had ongoing trauma throughout my development. And then I had some really succinct traumatic experiences. So EMDR, I would say, reduced, you know, the nightmares, the flashback. And one thing that used to happen to me when I was around authority figures, my legs would shake. And, you know, that was just my central nervous system alerting me to perceive danger. And so that also stopped happening. However, I still didn't think good thoughts. I still had, you know, I would get into these negative spirals. For me, it didn't touch the shame. And so even though all those symptoms reduced, there were still these core messages or parts of me, which I didn't know that that's what it was at the time, but parts of me, especially the inner critic, like I had an inner critic that went rogue inside, right? And just beat the snot out of me. And so, but I didn't know that those were parts until I did brain spotting. The very first time I did brain spotting, I saw my 8-year-old self and I got back in touch with her, and it was before the abuse happened, six to eight years old. And she was carefree, full of life, and I could feel her in my body. And that was like, there she is. It was almost like remembering who I really was, because I did remember loving this world and having energy before the trauma happened. But once that trauma happened, like there was just layer upon layer upon layer, it deadened my vitality and my fire, I guess, for life. And then when I did brain spotting, I got back in touch with that fire. And that was like awesome. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for explaining that. Oh, that's really helpful. I hope people who are hearing this are like, oh, when you explained about flashbacks, that's really, really valuable, because, you know, intrusive thoughts, intrusive memories, it just comes into your mind and it's like suddenly your mind wanders and you're thinking about this. And I would do the same. Why am I thinking about this? Or I would go, oh, this is not the time to be thinking about that right now. And I would just kind of like push it away in my mind. But it was coming up in my mind all the time, every day, you know, multiple times throughout the day. And it would just be like, oh, push that out every time. So there's a lot of energy expended trying not to think about it. So to have your nightmares and your flashbacks and your physiological response of legs trembling to go away from the EMDR, I can imagine that that was, at that point, a life-changing, like, oh my gosh, I'm free of these symptoms now. And that could be, if someone did a PTSD assessment, that could mean that you might no longer meet the criteria for having PTSD, but it doesn't mean that we're not still impacted by trauma. And I think that's what, you know, I want people to hear and even maybe a little bit feel as we explain, as you talk about your experience, how you can begin to have the more expanded experience of life, where what you're feeling is not just the absence of the traumatic, intrusive memory, but the addition of something. And so that's what you were naming, like with that vitality.
And what happened when I did my first brain spotting session is I got in touch with my adaptation behavior of people pleasing. So that little girl, I saw not only the one that had vitality, but I also saw the other one that had to sacrifice herself so that everyone liked her, so that everyone, so that I was safe. And I started to see that it was everywhere. It was in my relationships. It was at work. And so seeing that, I saw the global impact of trauma and realized how that impacted me. And so I started this new journey of recovery from being a people pleaser or, you know, fawn or whatever the current name is for that.
Being a nice girl, a good girl.
Exactly. And I started to get my voice back and I started to set boundaries. And very interestingly, with that came loss, because people that relied on me to be easygoing and to take care of them at the expense of myself, I was saying more no. And the more that I said no, the more the people that relied on me for the people pleasing started to leave my life. And so then there was loss. And so this is why I say for folks that have this kind of history, and I'm a high performer, so it's no coincidence that I work with high performing women, is that when we start to expand, our nervous system feels it as threat quite often. So then we constrict because we're afraid of loss, or we get triggered about, you know, I might be too much, or who do I think I am to want to expand? You know, like all these things that are shocking that come up as we're trying to up level.
Therapy Notes is consistently transforming the way therapists manage their practices with continuous updates designed to save money and improve efficiency. Their latest game changer, Therapy Fuel, a powerful and fully integrated suite of AI tools that streamline documentation so you can focus more on your clients. With AI features that help by generating progress notes from summaries or transcriptions, creating contact notes directly from clients' secure messages, and automated summaries of client history forms, Therapy Notes users are already reporting hours of saved time and energy. Some other recent feature improvements include automated recurring client payments, electronic secondary insurance billing, and their constantly expanding library of outcome measures. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial, and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today.
Therapists, ready to stop just listening and start doing? I offer several ways to work with me and accelerate your trauma expertise. You can join my Trauma Therapist Network membership community for ongoing support, book a one-on-one clinical consultation with me for personalized guidance, or buy my course for clinicians on supporting survivors of sexual trauma, and check out the retreats coming up in 2026. All that info and more is on the For Therapists page of Trauma Therapist Network, and you can find a link in the show notes.
Yeah. And as you were talking, and I get this, I feel this so much. As my businesses have grown, as this podcast has grown, my practice, Trauma Therapist Network, it's like, I remember before I launched Trauma Therapist Network, I had the idea. I felt like it was a great idea. I was totally enthusiastic about it. There was a real deep sense of this is needed and I can create it and it's going to be valuable. It's going to have benefit. It's meaningful. And then like in the month before the website went live, this is an exaggeration, but I would almost call it like I was having a nervous breakdown. I was like, oh my gosh, I just felt like I wanted to curl up in a ball and hide. And I was like, what was I thinking? This is crazy. You can't do this. You know, every like self-doubt, self-judgment. And it didn't feel like I was just having a reaction to something. It felt like the truth that this is a horrible mistake. You can't do it, you know? So it doesn't just seem like thoughts.
Right. No, because you feel it in your central nervous system, physiologically, your body. You know, I see this anytime I work with women entrepreneurs that are going to raise their prices. They go, they go into that, right? Or with you and your network, that's visibility, right? So now you're going into visibility. And I'll see this. People are like, I can't get online and do videos for social media, or, you know, all these different things. And again, it goes back to your central nervous system and needing to build capacity.
Making that connection between how the developmental trauma, why would our nervous system see exposure or visibility as threatening?
Because we don't see it as safe, right? It goes back to that core need to feel safe. And so under times of stress, which when you're expanding, you're going into uncertainty, it's going to create some stress in your system. When we, under times of stress, we regress. So we go back to those adaptive behaviors or those old fears that we've worked with already to help ourselves through. Well, now we're going to a deeper level. So it kicks it up for us.
It's like we're scared. And so it taps into that fear from almost like, you know, coming into contact with an authority figure, like, what's going to happen here? Can I handle this?
And the struggle's familiar, right? We plateau. This is familiar. So then we're safe. Well, now we're up leveling and we're going into uncertainty, into a territory that's unfamiliar. And so, yeah, it kicks up scarcity. It kicks up fear, all those kinds of things.
And so even though we want to be successful in what we're trying to do, the success itself could be scary.
Exactly. And how this is one of the reasons why I'm building a program to work with high performers so that there's a group support. So we help each other rise together so that we can talk about these things and normalize these things. Because, you know, some people get upset with themselves, like, this is silly. Why am I so nervous when I have this beautiful, wonderful opportunity? And so I just want to normalize all of that and help people understand that their central nervous system is a historical organ and it holds your entire story. And so it makes sense that when you are up-leveling or you're expanding, that if you have any trauma, if you have any old remnants of old beliefs or whatever, that's going to get kicked up in your physiology. And I really want to be clear here. It's not about a strategy problem. It's not about a mindset problem. It's in your central nervous system. It's in your physiology. So you can't think your way out of it.
I guess I just want to take this moment to share something about my experiences with brain spotting to, like, I'm thinking about how, like, the first time I tried experiencing brain spotting myself, there was a dynamic. It was related to setting boundaries and holding boundaries. It was related to when I would express a boundary that I was clear about, and then the other person would disregard it. And suddenly I would go from being clear, fully embodied in the boundary I was setting, to I don't know what to do now. I would freeze. And so I through a lot of therapy over years, like 3 years of trying to figure out what is going on, figure it out and talk about it. And I was using somatics and to try, like, I need to understand what this is. And I knew that I needed to go into the body. And I started kind of getting to a point where I could tap into the body. And when I would, when the same problem would come up in different situations, and I would tap into the body and I would see a scene. And it was a scene from a trauma of my childhood, but I still couldn't talk about it. And then the first time I did brain spotting, I brought up the problem, not talking about the scene. I brought up the same problem and the same scene came up and we did brain spotting, and the scene went from a flat scene where I could see like a still image to it became like alive. And I went into it and think everything moved in the way I saw myself. It's kind of like what you said about seeing the child you. Like, I saw the experience, I saw it, I understood from a very expansive perspective, even like beyond, like, you know, anything I ever would think about in my ordinary way of thinking. And then it, a lot of emotion moved. And then when I went back to my regular therapy, because my therapist wasn't a brain spotting therapist, went back to my regular therapy and I was like, guess what? I'm ready to work with that more. And then we were able to really work with it. So it wasn't like that one scene just made it all better.
Right.
But it allowed movement where it had just been stuck. Every time I would get to that point, I would just like, ah!
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, this isn't sexy to say this, but like unclogging the toilet, really. I mean, I know that's yeah. maybe a really that's silly a good analogy, one. But, or, you know, Roto-Rooter or whatever, right?
Yes.
So my apologies if that grossed everybody out, but that's a perfect example, Laura, of what will happen to leaders or, yeah. you know, somebody that's a leader who is got to manage conflict with their employees or their team and will shut down or collapse or because the conflict, and they're not even recognizing it's connected to the past. They're not
exactly,
you know, so they're not like, what's wrong with me? What's going on that I can't speak my truth here? You know, they just freeze. Yeah.
Right. And then the shame comes, which I think is what brings that people-pleasing behavior. The shame comes and goes, you should be able to handle this. Why didn't you speak up for yourself there? You know, you knew what you wanted. Why didn't you say it? Things right. like that.
Right. And the brutal. Other thing that I see a lot of is when the leaders go into freeze or confusion, again, that's when that inner critic will come and say, you should know how to do this, the shoulding on the self, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You're working with what really isn't, it really isn't possible. I just want to reiterate what you said, to access through talking and right. even through somatics, you know, just like there's something about brain spotting that allows something to open and shift, you know, that is, I don't know. It can do what psychedelics do. It can just really take you into a completely different state of consciousness while you still know where you are here right now too.
Right. Right. And helps you free up, you know, like that's the most important thing, is for people to get back to the freedom of being who they really are. That's why I love brain spotting. That's why I teach it. And now I'm using it for performance enhancement. So it's like the next level, because I work with a lot of folks that we've done years and years of the therapy. We've done years and years of all this work, and there's still a receiving issue. They have a hard time receiving. They don't know how to flourish. And so this is the work that I'm doing now. It's like, all right, let's apply these things. Let's put them into our lives. Let's try these things out, and then let's figure out what's going on that's stopping them from fully flourishing.
Will you talk a little bit about your coaching program? Because I'm sure some people who are listening would be probably benefit from it, and
yeah,
also just really interested in it. Yeah.
So what I'm doing right now, it's the whole program is 9 months, and it's very thorough, and we're calling it the Embodied Capacity Method. And this is an outgrowth of the Sacred Knowing book, you know, working with folks and sharing all of this, and just naturally kind of has gone, you know, through this. And the first part of it, the first 3 months, is called the phase one, Alive and Aligned. And Alive and Aligned is, all right, let's get you back connected to your central nervous system, the capacity that you have right now. What is your vision? Get really clear on your vision. Get really clear on your values. And let's build this transition or where you want to go with that at the foundation. Your central nervous system, your vision, your values, and your messaging. So that's what Alive and Aligned is. It's the first 3 months. Then it's followed up by phase two, which is called the Capacity Lab. And in the Capacity, we're going after all of those imprints in the central nervous system that when you try to up-level, that happens, right? Or you hit the wall. Like, it's like, you know, you've got all the strategy, you've got all the good mindset stuff. You go to do it and you procrastinate or you hit the wall. Like, here's one really good example. I have a person that has a really great strategy and a really great mindset. And this person's trying to do it all on their own. And it's like, you know, working with them to like, you really need to start to slowly build a team. And for some reason, delegation is equating to fear. Like, to be able to delegate to other folks, right? They're like, well, I was always told that I have to do this on my own. I, you know, like, because control equals safety, right?
Or I can't trust anyone to help me.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's an example of how it can show up, you know, for leaders. Or another one is imposter syndrome. Like, who do I think I am to want to up level to 200K a year, right? They're making 100K, they're successful. Now they want to double their income. They want to scale. Who do you think you are to want to go to, you know, want to go there? So then we end up into scarcity. Or the third one that I see quite a bit is, all right, we're getting really clear on the messaging and now you got to go out there and you got to share your message. Well, visibility equals becoming a target, right? So this is where these are the real life examples of how they'll show up. And so in the Capacity Lab, I'm using brain spotting and parts work coaching to help them recognize where their system is holding so that we can free that up so that they can be, you know, feel really good and celebrate the up-leveling that they can do.
That sounds wonderful. And so it's two phases, basically. First one is 3 months and the second one is 6 months.
Yeah, it's a cohort. They can decide if they want to just come for the first one. Of course, I'm biased. I recommend that you do the whole 9 months. Because what I'm after for folks is sustainable change.
Yeah.
And it takes time to get to that sustainable change and practice and building those habits and using tools. Like, we're going to go through all of that and learning what it means to be holistically high performing as well. Because that's another thing that I see is that high performers tend to overfunction and not have balance in a holistic way in their life, in their relationships, spirituality, and physical health. And we're looking to balance all of that out so that the high performance that they're after is sustainable. It's not going to be over functioning. We don't want to burn people out.
So glad you mentioned that, because that is really a big piece for people who are high achievers, that we tend to overwork and overfunction in both in our personal and professional lives. Yeah.
We often teach what we are learning, right? So I've been through this and I'm still tweaking and refining. And so I share transparently about all the different things that have shown up for me. And that's why I'm passionate about this. Because I want to see women entrepreneurs rise and thrive.
Yeah. Well, this is amazing. I'm so glad you're doing it.
Thank you.
Actually, I just got your book on Kindle, so I'm super into it myself, but I'm very happy for you. I feel lucky. I kind of had gotten to watch you, like, you know, before, while you were in your program, and now look what you're doing. And I just see
I'm
it
really
expanding
excited.
So much.
Yeah. I'm really excited because this is accumulation of all of my work and everything that I've done. And so I kind of see this as the legacy, right? It's like, I really want to help the next generation of women entrepreneurs get where they want to go. I want to share everything I know and watch them rise. I didn't have a mentor ahead of me. I had to really pick and choose. And I wish I had somebody like myself that could have, you know, like, hey, like, take me under their wing and walk through. And so I just yeah, I love mentoring and I love watching women rise. And the other thing I love is being around a ton of high performers without the competition. We're all here collaboratively helping each other out, giving each other resources. Love it, love it, love it.
That is so beautiful. And so where can people learn about your embodied capacity method?
Yeah.
Your book and all the, you also do retreats and I mean, you do a ton of stuff. So where can they find everything that you're doing?
Yeah. So they can come to CherieLindberg.com. And from there, you can, if you're interested in a brain spotting training or if you're wanting an intensive, I do travel trips, but you can go under coaching programs for the one that we just talked about. Well, for CherieLindberg.com is where they will see everything.
Beautiful. I will definitely put a link to your website in your show notes. In the show notes. And Cherie, thank you so much for coming on to Therapy Chat. We finally made this happen.
Yes. Yes. Well, I really appreciate the opportunity and I look forward to seeing where things are going to go for you too. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Therapy Notes is the highest rated EHR practice management and billing software for mental health professionals. Its all-in-one platform is designed to streamline all aspects of your practice, from connecting with clients via secure messages to scheduling, notes, billing, and more. You can trust Therapy Notes has you covered. And one of the best parts, 24/7 customer service with a live person. It's beyond easy to get help over the phone or by email at any time of day from their knowledgeable and friendly representatives. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial, and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today.
Therapists ready to stop just listening and start doing? I offer several ways to work with me and accelerate your trauma expertise. You can join my Trauma Therapist Network membership community for ongoing support, book a one-on-one clinical consultation with me for personalized guidance, or buy my course for clinicians on supporting survivors of sexual trauma, and check out the retreats coming up in 2026. All that info and more is on the For Therapists page of Trauma Therapist Network, and you can find a link in the show notes.
Thank you for listening to Therapy Chat with your host, Laura Regan, LCSWC. For more information, please visit therapychatpodcast.com.